The National Institute of Standards and Technology recently awarded Colorado State University $20 million. That grant will go toward establishing the Community Resilience Center of Excellence. And when it's up and running, the center will help local governments decide how to best prepare for and recover from extreme weather and other disasters. For more on the center, we turn to Terry McAllister. She's a structural research engineer at NIST. Terry, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Tom. It's my pleasure.
Now, I was looking at some images during one of the recent snowstorms in Boston, and the roof of a piano store collapsed, dumping tons of roofing and snow right on top of a historic Liberace piano. And so a lot of damage, a lot of destruction happening. This is the kind of thing we're talking about, correct?
Absolutely. What we're talking about is a community's ability to plan for very disruptive events. So we like to look a little bit farther than individual facilities. In addition to building collapses, we're also looking at the ability of the community itself to function and continue its daily business.
And so in many ways, this is also would aid the federal government, which would have to respond less to local disasters if the communities were more resilient by themselves.
Yes, it would. The idea is that a community would begin to develop a long-term plan, not only to prepare for a disaster, but to be able to adapt to changing conditions and then recover rapidly from events like this.
All right, so tell us about the grant. It went to the University of Colorado State University, $20 million to establish a center. Tell us how it'll work and how it'll be staffed.
Okay. The center actually is established at Colorado State University, but there are also 10 other institutions that are involved due to the wide range of activities. The centerpiece will be developing new modeling methods that, at a community level, will look at the integrated performance of infrastructure systems. By that, I'm talking about power, water, transportation, fuel, and communication systems. But I'll have to go a little bit farther and include their performance and how it affects social organizations like government, healthcare, and education, and business. So
okay.
In addition to that, we're also going to focus on how to collect and have the data available that communities would need to do such assessments.
Now, communities have what they have. Would this be designed to help them reestablish new building codes, or what could communities take away from this after working with the center?
Well, the center is conducting research that will support the development of improved codes and standards, and it will also support the development of guidance and tools that communities will be able to use once they're developed. Such tools will help them make better decisions as they're doing their planning for the future to avoid conditions that lead to these failures that we hear about in the news now.
In general, the lack of resiliency or the dangers to communities, do they mostly revolve around structures and buildings and infrastructure, things like that?
It's really related more to their integrated performance. And we all know that when power is lost, that many different systems cannot recover. And you may have a perfectly intact building, but if it doesn't have water or communications or power, it's not providing its basic function. It's making sure that communities can restore all of these services and keep their buildings operating, that is the goal of the center.
All right, tell us about the NIST Core, the Community Resilience Modeling Environment, an open source platform computer model. What is it and how can communities use it?
Well, the NIST Core, which will be a computational modeling environment for community resilience, it will be conducting research and providing the science that will help support these tools that communities are so interested in having based on our conversations with them. It is hoped, though, that while we're doing the research, that we will get support from communities to help us test the results that we're finding and provide data.
What is the significance of the fact that this modeling tool is open source?
It means that any researcher would be allowed to come in and use the tools as they're being developed, rather than having software that has to be licensed to gain access to it and then not being able to understand how it's been developed and coded.
And it also, I suppose, would mean that a local community could find new functions to add to it, and then they could do that, and then it would be available to everybody else.
Exactly. The intent would be allowing different components to be added based upon an individual community's needs.
We're speaking with Terry McAllister. She's a research structural engineer at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And as a structural engineer, then you're right at the heart of all of this, because that's what people that do the work you do results in buildings that either stand up or fall down.
Yes, that's true. The effort is focused on what we call the built environment, things that engineers design and build. But I would like to emphasize that we are broadening that scope and working with social scientists and making sure that the functions that all these built systems serve is being adequately considered and served.
I guess maybe if you would roll back history to Hurricane Katrina and the operation of a public facility there, the Superdome, is probably an example of what can happen and also what should never happen in terms of the community and its interaction with the built environment. Is that a good example?
You're talking about the dome sheltering people during the event?
Yes.
Yes. So the dome was not intended to serve as a shelter, though it did perform that function from a structural point of view. But the community hopefully will have plans in the future where people will know to go to be sheltered and that the facilities will have been evaluated ahead of time. And so it worked out well in that case, but we're hoping to provide tools to allow better planning by communities for events such as those.
Now, the United States has, as a country, about 2.5 centuries here on this continent, and yet every week there's a tornado that blows a stick-built building to smithereens. Do you ever wonder whether there might be an alternative to the stick house that is in so many areas that are so regularly affected by adverse weather?
Well, you have selected a hazard that there's still quite a bit of work going on, tornadoes affecting wood frame structures. That is an area of research that's ongoing, and you've also addressed the issue of existing infrastructure, which every community has. So the focus of community resilience is helping build that long-term plan to improve performance of exactly what you're referring to, both homes and businesses. When people don't have a place to live, they may have trouble staying in their communities, and that affects the community's health and well-being.
And I suppose from the federal standpoint, if homes are destroyed, individual homes are destroyed, if there is a good, infrastructure for removal of debris, of getting funds that are due to people quickly, and of sheltering and so forth, that the recovery can be much faster, even with the same beginning, that is the loss of homes.
Yes, and Tom, you're addressing a key point of the community resilience concept, which is planning for recovery. And it does include sheltering people in the immediate short term, removal of debris, and having plans ready and in place to conduct repairs or rebuilding as needed.
All right, Terry McAllister is a research structural engineer at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.